Good morning to all of you. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to Psalm 119, verses 129 and 130, as we continue in our trek through this particular passage of the book of Psalms. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I don't know about you, but that's a very encouraging verse of Scripture. First of all, I don't have to live in the dark, and God has even things for the simple. I fit into both of those categories there. God doesn't want us to live in the dark, but you got to want to live in the light. Do you notice how that works? He doesn't just carpet bomb the whole world with His light, does He? He's given His light through His Word, and you've got to pick up His Word and read it, and then there is the entrance of light. That's how it works. The light switch goes on. But you have to be the one to go to the Word and read it and take it in, and then it becomes light. Another passage that we've already looked at, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You have to bring the Word and incorporate it into your life, and then it provides the light that you need along the pathway. But that latter part of that verse builds a step further by saying in verse 130, it giveth understanding unto the simple. In other words, God reveals Himself to those that just are simple. The more complicated you are, the more a part of the culture you become. The Bible tells us that in the last times, people will be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They are ever learning. They're becoming more and more sophisticated, and yet they get further and further away from the truth. And yet God says in His Word here that it giveth understanding unto the simple. Those that are just simple say, God, I'm going to put away all my thinking and I want You to tell me what I'm supposed to do with my life. Lord, I want You to tell me how I'm supposed to live today. Lord, I want You to take charge in all my decisions today. That's simple, isn't it? Lord, I'm just going to let You tell me. Not me tell You. You tell me. Then understanding comes in. Understanding of what my role is. I'm not God. I'm not even close, even though evolutionary teaching says we're evolving in that way. We're eventually going to make it to God status. No, you're not God. You'll never will be. And so what do? We simplify things down to the basics. And the basics is this: God, You tell me, not the other way around. Boy, that's a simple way to live. It's a simple way to live. Anything else is complicated. And who needs that? We certainly don't as Christians. And so may God help us. The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. If you're not simple, then you need to get there. You need to get there. You say, well, I don't want to lower myself down. Well, you're already as low as you can get. What you need to do is raise yourself by simplifying. It's not going down, it's going up. Because don't I want the entrance of God's light in my life? Don't I want understanding that's His? Yes, I do. And so we have to simplify and follow what God says in His Word.
Take your hymn books this morning and turn to number 330. As we begin our singing, number 330. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. Number 330. Let's stand together to sing.
Look to the Lamb of God.
Standing this morning for prayer.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your place today, to be able to gather around your word, to be able to sing songs of praise to your glorious name. And we thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, the Lamb, to take our place on the cross of Calvary, whereby he shed his blood for our sin, whereby he died and rose again the third day in victory over sin, death, and hell, that we might have forgiveness of sin, that we might have a way, a pathway of salvation, that we might have a home in heaven. Lord, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. We pray this morning that you would work in hearts and lives. There may be some that are so close to heaven, but being close to heaven is not enough. We must know Jesus Christ. We must have that forgiveness full and free. We must accept his atoning work on Calvary's tree. We must repent of our sin and believe on Jesus Christ alone. I pray that you draw precious souls unto yourself today. Father, as Christians that are gathered here today, may we take in your word. May we be strengthened by your word. Lord, it's so easy to just allow the time to slip by and our minds not fully engage in the worship of Thee, to not fully engage in the hearing of Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would deliver us from ourselves, that You would deliver us from wandering minds, and that we might be able to fully focus upon Thee, our wonderful Lord. Lord, we pray for our country. Lord, our hearts are burdened by the chaos and by the division that's in our land. But we know, Lord, until there is an awakening, a turning back to Thee, that it will only get worse. I pray, Father, for the United States of America, and I pray for the people of the United States of America, that there might be a turning back to Thee, a return back to Your Word, to be able to know the authoritative statements about who we are and what we must have. I pray, Father, that You would work in our country. I pray for those that are in leadership over us. I pray that you would deliver us from lies and from untruths, that you would deliver us from the lack of humility, and that there would be this awareness that we are all under thee, and that we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I pray, Father, that you would cause our political leaders to see the need to own thee, to understand thee, to receive thee. I pray that you would bring an awakening to the United States Congress and to those in the executive branch and those in the judicial branch, Father, that there would be a turning to thee. Father, we think of our local elections that are coming up very soon, and we pray for our city, we pray for our county and for our state. We pray, Father, that you'd allow officials to come into office that will be people who respect and understand the Bible, that they might not turn away from thee and try to make us like other places with values that are not consistent with your word. I pray that you'd undertake, and we pray that good people would be elected into these places of service, and that they might serve indeed the people of our city and of our county and of our state. We pray, Father, for the national elections coming up with senators from all around the country being elected. We pray, Father, that you'd put good people in those places, that we might be able to see a relief from all of the corruption that has been so prevalent over the last many, many decades. And Father, we pray that you would undertake for our men and women who serve in the military. We thank you for them. We thank you for their willingness to voluntarily serve in the military and to risk their lives every day in the protection of our values and the protection of this country. We pray, Father, for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ in the military. Help them, Father, to be strong for Thee. Help them to be a witness and testimony for Thee as well. Now, Father, we pray that You would be with those of our church family that are near and dear to us who are going through difficult times. I also pray that You would be with many others, Father, that are away from us traveling and many that will be traveling this week. We would ask, Father, for Your protection upon all. Now, bless this service today. Lord, receive our singing. Receive our prayers and our desire to worship Thee today. And we pray that You would fill our hearts with joy. Fill our hearts with Your precious Word today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated as we turn now to number 474. Next hymn is number 474. Take the World, But Give Me Jesus, number 474.
Take the world.
Turn now to number 340 in your hymn books, number 340. My faith has found a resting place. I need no other argument, no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Number 340, we'll sing verses 1 and 3. Verses 1 and 3.
and he bought me by his death on Calvary. Since he saved me and then forgave me, in his will my life shall be. Where he leads me, I will go. Where he sends me, I will go. Jesus Christ shall be all in all to me. Where he leads me, I will go. Jesus found me and he bound me with his cords of love divine. What redemption, what condescension, perfect grace and peace are mine. Where he leads me, I will go. Where he sends me, I will go. Jesus Christ shall be all in all to me. Where he leads me, I will go. Jesus leads me, and he needs me to proclaim his words of love. Oh, what glory to tell his story till I see his face above. Where he leads me, I will go. Where he sends me, I will go. Jesus Christ shall be all in all to me. Where he leads me, I will go.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 27 this morning. Matthew chapter 27. I want to read the first 10 verses of this particular passage, and then I want to share with you a message that I hope will be of help. To come so close as to kiss the door of heaven and still go to hell. That is the story of Judas Iscariot. Some months ago, I did a series on suicide, and I used him as an example. There are 7 suicides that are recorded in the Bible, and of course, the greatest detail is given concerning the character that we have before us today, Judas Iscariot. It's recorded in all of the Gospels. Other details are recorded even from the Old Testament scriptures and Psalms that relate to the death of Judas Iscariot. But I want to read the first 10 verses of this passage, and I hope that you'll pay careful attention to the details that the Bible gives here in these first 10 verses. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Now that tells you how wonderful the religious leaders were, how concerned they were about right and wrong, how much they were concerned about Judas Iscariot, their key witness, all right? The one who betrayed Jesus Christ. What is that to us? Just go on your way. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. Isn't that interesting? They even admit, this is blood money. It's not lawful for us to put it back in the treasury again. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray your blessing upon this service today. I pray that you might help us, that we might see the truth of this passage of Scripture as we see the horrible end of a man who walked with Jesus, who spent 2.5 years of his life alongside of the Master of the universe, and came so close and yet went to hell. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Maybe there are some second Judases that are here within the sound of my voice or on radio or internet listening to this message that have come so close to Jesus and yet haven't come all the way. Father, I pray that you'd work in hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Forever recorded in the annals of biblical history is the treacherous story of Judas Iscariot. We cannot help but wonder about Judas. How a person that was appointed to be an apostle. He didn't appoint himself. Jesus appointed him to be an apostle, a disciple, a follower of him. Could come so close and yet miss. You ever heard that expression, close enough for horseshoes and hand grenades? All right. Well, you know, with horseshoes, you can take the horseshoe and put it by the pole, and if it's within the width of the horseshoe, then it counts for points. And if you throw a hand grenade in there and you get a bunch of people, then I guess that's close enough. But that's not how it works with biblical truth. That's not how it works with salvation. You've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't count that you can come up so close and somehow be allowed in. I put the title of my message on the screen there to sit and let it soak in for just a moment. To kiss the door of heaven and go to hell. That's how close he came. He kissed the door of heaven and he went to hell. Now, Judas was not interested in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He proved this on a number of occasions, but more poignantly, he proved it in how he handled the money of the disciples, of the group that they had there. How he handled that? He was stealing. He was stealing from the fund and ingratiating himself. He was concerned about material gain in this world and wasn't concerned about gain in heaven in the other world. What did the Lord teach them at the Sermon on the Mount? Said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and dust doth corrupt, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. All right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That all comes from that passage, and there was a disciple sitting there soaking it all in, but not believing a word of it. That's striking. That's scary. That's frightening. To be hearing that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And Judas is sitting there with that religious smile on his face, and his heart was just as far away from righteousness as it could get. He was a crook. He didn't care about Jesus. He betrayed Him. And then at the end, he had a little bit of regret. By the way, that's not a good translation, repented. Is not a good translation of that word. It's regretted. He had remorse, but he never came to repentance. That's why on the screen I have, do you have repentance or regret? Regret's not good enough. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ is the standard, and Judas did not meet it. Now we need to learn something right now as we begin. When you look through life through the lens of money, you're looking through glasses with a wrong prescription. You ever gone back and pulled up an old pair of glasses? I found my old pair of glasses from college not too long ago. They're kind of like the old-timey wire-rim glasses with the big old, that was an 80s type thing, with the glasses covered from one side of your ear all the way over to the other, you know. And if you turn, you had prescription all over the place. Now they got them smaller, you know. We don't need all that weight on our heads. I pulled it out. I said, I'd just like to see how my eyes have changed. And I put it on there, and I went cross-eyed. And what has happened? My eyes have actually improved with the years. In the 10 years since I've been diagnosed with diabetes, I got rid of my trifocals. And I don't need glasses during the day. I only need them at night, just because I have trouble seeing at night. So I put my glasses on when I drive or whatever. At nighttime, I will put my glasses on. But during my, and I couldn't believe the difference in 35 years. My eyes. I can't use that old prescription anymore. And when you look at life through the lens of money like Judas did, and material things, and not seeking after the righteousness of God, you're looking through the wrong prescription. And you're going to see things. It's almost like looking through a kaleidoscope. Those used to be popular when I was growing up. If you say kaleidoscope, the kids are like, what? What's that? You know? I remember going down to Kmart, and you go to the toy section. They had all the kaleidoscopes all lined up there. Anybody remember that? Come on, get your hands up, old folks. Yeah, thank you. I don't want to be up here all by myself waving my hand. And I remember going down there, and you'd put it up to your eye, and then put it up to the light. And you would turn it, and all the different colors and things. That's what, when you look through the lens of money, that's what you're looking at. Boy, look at all the pretty colors. Look at all the designs. Let's do an interview with Judas today. Let's go down to the place where the Bible says he's gone, hell. Judas, you were with Jesus for 2.5 years. Why did you come so close and yet die and go to hell? What would his answer be? Well, we know this about people in a devil's hell. They never change their mind about how they live. Therefore, eternity locked into the same rebellious mindset that they had when they were here on this earth. Don't ever forget that. People don't have, oh, you know, this is a horrible place. I wish I had listened to God. No. No. Not enough. Maybe a little regret. Maybe a little remorse. But never repentance. His answer would be, I was not willing to repent and believe that this carpenter's son was really the Son of God. That was the sticking point with Judas. He just could not bring himself. And I don't even think that whenever he betrayed Jesus Christ, that he actually thought that they would kill him. I don't think he believed that. Because he saw when Jesus was condemned, what did he do? He brought the money back and he threw it over the temple wall. And you could hear the silver clanging and rolling away. I don't think Judas thought it would go this far. And so does he repent? No, he regrets. And the Bible says he went out and he hanged himself. I want us to think together. Then Judas, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself or expressed regret. Now, by the way, let me just show you some of the words here. There are two factors that are brought out in this passage of Scripture as to why he took his own life. Number one was regret. Remorse. The Greek word is metamelomai. All right? Metamelomai. And it means regret. To regret something. Have you ever regretted something? Have you ever sat down and ate a steak dinner and regretted that you ate so much? Okay? Or maybe you had brownies and ice cream. Oh, that's a Southern favorite. Brownies and ice cream. And I'll go back and just get one more brownie. And then when you look at that poor little brownie down in that bowl, you say, you know what? It just doesn't look good without another scoop of ice cream too. And then we eat it and then we're just bloated. We're so full, and you say, oh, I wish I hadn't eaten that. But the next time it comes around to having ice cream and brownie, we do the same thing again. How deep is regret? It's a mile wide and an inch deep. You see, regret is just a surface response. Are you listening to me? Remorse and regret are just surface response. And that's why this Greek word was chosen here. Because the Greek word for repentance is metanoia. Different word. It means to change the mind. And did Judas change his mind? Oh no. He just went out and took his life. He didn't cry out to God and said, "Oh God, I have betrayed the Son. Cleanse me of my sin." Oh no, he didn't do that. He just went out and hanged himself. There's a difference between regret and repentance. Don't ever get those two words confused. It's the difference between eternal life and eternal death. He chose death over life. Regret refers rather to the weight of consequences rather than the weight of sin itself. You see, kids, I got on a boy that was running down the hall. He had forgot something from his classroom and was heading the parent line, and he was just running full blast. I said, whoa, slow down, walk in the hall. All it takes is somebody to slip out of a bathroom and get nailed by somebody running in the hallway. You don't want somebody to get hurt. Hey, we walk in the halls. "I'm sorry, Mr. Brainerd." So I stood there and I watched him as he went around the corner, and you could just see him. Pew! Okay, so I walked back down there. Okay? Now his sorrow was so heartfelt. He was pulling at my heartstrings. "I'm sorry, Mr. Brainerd." He no more meant that than the man on the moon. "Mr. Brainerd's watching me. Mr. Brainerd's watching me. Mr. Brainerd's watching me. Mr. Brainerd's watching me. Mr. Brainerd's not watching me anymore." Okay? That was Judas. Regret. "Man, I'm so sorry. Make a big show. Throw the silver over the temple wall." It was nothing. Didn't mean a thing. He was overcome by the consequences. He didn't think it was going to go this far. Remember what happened at the garden? You remember the two miracles that were performed there? We didn't get into this last week. But there was a miracle that was performed. It's recorded in John chapter 18. That when the soldiers came up to Jesus, you remember that? When the soldiers came up to Jesus, they were blown backward to the ground. That's the words that are used. Judas was there, saw this whole thing transpire. I don't think Judas thought that Jesus was going to give up. Remember, he saw two things. Peter cuts off the ear of Malchus. Jesus puts it back on. It's healed immediately. Two miracles are performed right there in the garden. Does Jesus have the power to deliver himself? Yes. But Judas did not believe that Jesus was going to go all the way and give himself up. "I'll betray him. Jesus will show his power that I've seen so many times and his miracles. And everything will be all right." He finds out that Jesus is arrested and he goes in there and he doesn't believe it's going to go this far. And it goes far and he's charged. He's turned over to the Romans. And what does he do? He runs back to the temple, to Caiaphas and the high priest. And he says, I've betrayed innocent blood. And being the very concerned and caring priests that were there, "What is it to us? Man, you did what you said you were going to do and we paid you. Get out of here." Basically what they said. And so he walks behind as the priests leave the palace area to walk over to the temple proper. He takes the silver and he throws it up over the wall. And then he runs out and gets him a rope and hangs himself. I want you to see the second thing. Not only regret, but also guilt. This word, hamartan, that we see there in the thing, it's the word guilt. Not just that I've betrayed, but I'm guilty. I am riddled with guilt because of what I've done. You know, guilt is one of the most powerful of emotions that can overcome you. I think all of us can say that there's been some point in time in our life that we were just overwhelmed by the guiltiness of what we had done. But the question is, what do you do about that guilt? Where do you take that guilt? Did Judas take his guilt to Jesus Christ and cry out to God for forgiveness? No. He bore his guilt and he went to the hangman's noose and he went right down into hell. He kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. I want you to see something. Life. Living. As long as you are alive and your heart is beating, you have opportunity for repentance and faith. The thing that you and I don't know is how much time we've got. How much time we've got. Sam told his family this week, he's a good man, loves the Lord. He said, I'm not going to be like Hezekiah. He said, I'm not going to cry and grovel on the ground and ask God to give me 15 more years. If God wants me to go, I want to go. If God wants me to stay, I want to stay. Now, Sam is 55 years old. He's just about 6 months older than I am. And he told his family that this week. He said, I'll do the bare minimum, but I'm not going to go all the way into the extreme chemotherapy and stuff that they're wanting to do because it will destroy my time that I have left with you. If God sees fit to heal me, that's fine. If God sees fit to take me on, that's fine. And I couldn't help but think that this man understands. He's ready because he took the opportunity for repentance and faith. And so now his life, his heart is at rest. And he can face death if it comes. I don't know what God has in store. He's scheduled for surgery tomorrow. He's going to have that. And he's going to have a mild radiation treatment, and that's it. Not do anything else. Because he said, I want God to work. For God to do that. Now, do you think that's easy for his children and for his wife? Now, his children are grown now, but he's got grandkids. He's got a wife. It's not easy. But he's at peace because he took the opportunity. And as a result, Sam knows Christ and he has eternal life. And he got eternal life the moment he was saved, by the way. You don't get eternal life when you die. You get eternal life the moment that you're saved. The question is, how locked in on this earth am I? And Judas, in a moment of remorse and regret, just bypassed all the opportunities that were given to him. And this is what we see in his life. Suicide. Taking his own life. No opportunity for repentance and faith in Christ. He ran from that scene and he took his life, not stopping to weigh the eternal consequences. And this is what lingers of the story of Judas, folks. Have you considered the consequences of your decisions? Have you considered what it means to turn away from God? Turn away from Christ? No opportunity for repentance and faith in Christ. And what did this mean? Eternal death. When he hung himself, he moved from physical death into eternal death. And you think about that little phrase that's recorded, then Judas. That little phrase right there, then Judas, is a time phrase. He took a big old life eraser out and he erased every opportunity that lay before him. Oh, Jesus had witnessed to him. Jesus had called on him, come, come unto righteousness, come with me. And Judas just took out the eraser and erased all of his opportunities and went off into a devil's hell. He kissed the door of heaven and he went to hell. I want you to think for just a moment. Are you a second Judas? Now, this is where we have to apply the Scripture. Dr. Watt was talking about that in Sunday school. It's one thing to read God's Word, but it's quite another to apply it to me personally. Oh, it's so easy to apply it to somebody else, right? As we're listening to a message, a whole list of names start appearing, and somehow our name's just not in that list. How did that happen? Because we're really good at finding all the people that, oh, this message would be just really good for so-and-so. But wait a minute. Let's plug our name in there. Are you a second Judas? Coming this close, kissing the door of heaven and dying and going to hell. Jesus picked him an apostle. Now I want you to follow along with this, what I've written up here. Jesus picked him as an apostle, but where did Judas go? Went to hell. He lived with Jesus for 3 years and went to hell. He watched Jesus walk on the water and he went to hell. He listened to the Sermon on the Mount and he went to hell. He ate with Jesus, talked with Jesus, walked with Jesus, had listened to Jesus day after day, month after month, year after year. He knew Jesus as well as anyone has ever known Jesus, and he still went where? Why? That question just keeps coming out of this passage, these first 10 verses. Why? 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 You ever let the Word of God talk to you like that? Should. It should. Why? He was an apostle. He was a disciple. He was there for all the miracles. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He heard the Olivet Discourse. He knows what's in the future. And yet he stopped short of repentance and faith. Why? Because Judas did not fully understand the deceitfulness of his human heart. And neither do we. You can be so easily deceived by your heart that you'll believe things that aren't true about yourself, about other people. You'll believe things that aren't true because you've got a deceitful heart. And sad to say, even though a person may become a believer in Christ, you've got to know this about your heart. That old man is still there. That old heart's still there. That old heart's still calling out. Still throwing out its lies. So easy to be deceived. Judas was a deceived man. He thought, and I believe this is accurate from what we read in this passage, he thought, I'll betray him, but Jesus has the power to deliver himself. I don't have anything to worry about. I'll just disappear with the money and no one will be the wiser. Then Judas, that's what he thought. I'll disappear with the money. I can go live in the caves of Judea in the wilderness. I'll get away with it and no one will be the wiser. Everybody's scared to death right now. But what he didn't count on was that Jesus meant what he said. I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. That never stuck in Judas's mind. It didn't stick in the other disciples' mind either. They were just as floored as Judas. They didn't suspect Judas of anything. He was one of them. Judas was just like them as far as they were concerned. Just one problem. Judas wasn't ready to die. He took his life, but he wasn't ready to die. Oh, I've known so many people that have been in that state. They were dying, but they weren't ready to die because they had not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They had not repented of their sin. Maybe they experienced a little bit of remorse or regret, but that's not being ready to die. Let's notice our passage here again. He said in verse 4, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, these are religious leaders, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And between the word depart and went and hanged himself was a short period of time. The last, let's put it this way, his last opportunity. As he was grabbing the rope wherever he went and got that, maybe it was at his house or maybe it was a place that he had stashed it on the way from Bethany into Jerusalem the night before. But he goes and takes that old rough-hewn bag and he pulls that rope out and tucks it up under his outer coat and begins to walk over to the place where he's going to commit suicide. I wonder what was flashing through the mind of Judas. You know, people say, well, you know, right before you do that, all the things of life. I don't know that that actually happens. Everything flashes through your mind. But I want you to know that the Bible records that he went to hell. So we know that during that time there was no change, no repentance, no faith. Between the time he departed the palace area of the temple and the time that he threw that rope over a limb in a tree, tied it off and stepped up on a stone and jumped out and snapped his neck and went off into eternity. Now folks, this is real. This happened. And we find every day that there are people that are not considering eternity, but are just stepping out into eternity with no thought. I read this week of a pastor in California that took his life. His wife found out that he was having an affair with a woman in their church. She confronted him about that. And he said, you know this will be the end of my ministry, don't you? And she said, I'm not worried about your ministry. I'm worried about our life together. I'm not worried about all that. You've done this. You can repent and we'll make it right. We'll make it work, whatever. So he paid her a few platitudes, and when he didn't come home that night, she called the police. He had taken the gun out of the side nightstand, and he had taken it and went for a ride, and they found him dead. Took his own life. Did he make things right with his wife? No. Did he make things right with his ministry? No. Did he make things right with God? I don't know. But I know this, he has the same two characteristics that Judas had, regret and guilt leading to taking one's life. Regret, remorse, but not willing to make it right and step up and deal with it. Folks, once that decision is made, there's no more opportunity. Those are the saddest words that I think could be uttered. No more opportunity. When the great white throne judgment takes place at the end of time, as we are about to enter the shores or come ashore on eternity, with no more time, there's a judgment that's held, and all the wicked, small and great, are going to stand before Jesus Christ. The time of opportunity had passed at that moment. Now it's judgment. And all the opportunities that were given in life will be spread out before the individual. And Jesus will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Some of them will have come so close as to kiss the door of heaven, but will be cast down into the lake of fire. And I'll say this, if you walk out this door and you go on in life and you walk away from God and you walk away from Jesus Christ, there will be a day when you stand before Him and this message will be echoed in your ears. Because the Bible says the books shall be opened. And you know what's found there? Matthew 27, 1 through 10. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. Don't depart like Judas and continue on and take your life. Because in essence, anyone that rejects Christ commits suicide spiritually. Are you listening to me? Anyone that hears the gospel and hears of the love of God towards you and that He sent His Son, the perfect one, to take your sin upon Himself and to die and then rise again the third day to make salvation available for you, and you walk away from that. I don't want anything to do with that. You're committing spiritual and eternal suicide. The opportunity's gone. We've got some precious children and young people in here. My heart's burdened for them. We've got some precious adults that are here. Do you know? Do you know? Yeah, I'm an apostle. I'm a disciple. I was there when Jesus performed all of His miracles. I was there at the Sermon on the Mount. I was there at the Olivet Discord. I saw all the miracles. Will that take you to heaven? No. Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. And some of you may be embracing heaven's door today, but you don't enter the door. Who is the door? By the way, it's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You got to go through the door. Would you bow your heads, please? Close your eyes for just a moment. Maybe there's someone here that says, Pastor Brainerd, you described me this morning. I'm like a second Judas. I've heard all the truth. I even like the truth, but I've never come to faith in Jesus Christ to know the truth. If you're here this morning, please understand that what I'm about to say won't save you, but I am concerned for you. If you're here without Jesus Christ, would you slip up your hand so I can pray for you? And maybe I can pull you aside and we can talk about eternity and show you what God has said in His Word. I don't want any of you to walk out this door not knowing for sure that you're a believer in Christ, that you've gone through the door. Anyone at all? Pastor Brainerd, I haven't gone through the door. I'm at it, but I haven't gone through it. I want to take care of that today. Anyone at all? Father in heaven, I thank You for these folks that are here, those that are listening. I pray that You would do a powerful Holy Spirit work in the hearts of those that have question marks in their mind right now. I can't read their mind. I don't know where they stand with Thee, but You do, and they do. And I pray that they might not kiss the door and go to hell, but go through the door, Jesus Christ, and know what it means to be on the other side, to have salvation full and free. How sad the story of Judas Iscariot, who had opportunity after opportunity, but when he departed, he went out and hanged himself and forever sealed his doom apart from Jesus Christ. May no one here today go journey down that road. Help them to come to Thee today before it's too late. For I ask this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Let's close with number 311, please. Number 311. Appreciate the powerful message this morning that guilt and remorse is not enough, but believing in Christ, repenting of our sins. Someday you'll hear God's final call. Oh, hear His call. Number 311, let's sing verses 1 and 3 as we close this morning. Let's stand together.
Someday you'll hear God's final call to you.
Father, I pray that we would hear the call of your Spirit to us. Lord, I pray if there is one here this morning that does not know you, they would have no rest, they would have no peace. You would continue to convict and work in their lives this morning and throughout the rest of this week. Draw them to yourself, Lord. And they would hear your call. The regrets of our lives, the guilt of our lives, of the things we've done is not enough to satisfy the wrath of God. But Lord, we pray that we would run to Christ. We would repent of our sin and trust in Him. Thank you, Father, for the message this morning. We ask that you'd bless each one of us. We would now walk with you and live in your strength. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.